The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of Being Retired, it's Professor Diane Manica.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Are you enjoying your afternoon coffee?
I am, and I had a wonderful retirement day today. I played golf this morning
in
the beautiful weather. I'm here taping the show, and then some of us are going to the Tiger game tonight.
Very cool. Very cool.
Love retirement.
Professor Jason Roach from Communication Studies is going to the game tonight.
It's going to be good.
He's got his Navenfield grounds crew shirt on.
Woo-hoo!
Ready to rock.
Yes.
Very, very cool.
And he's fresh from Cooperstown.
Oh, that's right. How did the showing go?
Really well. People really responded well to the film, and we had a very long question and answer session
that's
afterward.
Great.
That went longer
longer
than they allotted for. So.
Congratulations.
Cool. And he also got to see the Doc Ellis documentary while he was there. So.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, when they put your bronze bust up in the Hall of Fame, are you going to be wearing a Pirates cap or a Tigers cap?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. The high-profile dual cap, Pittsburgh-Detroit, right? Professor Roy Finkelbein is here from History.
Good to be here. I am basking in the glow of a 1-2-3 out performance by Joe Nathan. I never thought I'd live to see that.
You never see it again, unfortunately.
Enjoy it while you can.
They trotted out the old horse last night, and he did pretty good. If he has to come out again tonight, there could be trouble. Back-to-back doesn't seem to suit him very well. Joe, we actually love you. And he almost cried the other night when the crowd was chanting, "Let's go, Joe." I'm like, oh, I feel bad for
you. Well, they're trying to get him out of there. That's
well, I know.
Let's go somewhere else, Joe. Let's go anywhere else.
When I went with my one son to the game when he was in town in June, went to the game, and there was actually a guy wearing a Joe Nathan jersey.
Wow.
He was not being treated kindly by the fans around him.
Joe has actually been remarkably effective against the Tigers in the past.
That's true.
He's got it in him somewhere.
That's true. Somehow we need to get that chi back in alignment. Right, Professor Jim Tubbs, who's also going to the game?
Exactly.
Yes, you guys are wearing your orange today. That's great.
Yes, we're decked out.
Oh, no, red's a Twins color. Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
Diane, what's going on?
I have a sweater that has orange.
Yes, that works. That
yeah,
totally
you'll have
works.
To put little arrows on there pointing to the orange stripes.
I'll wear the
Professor Dave Chow just flew in. And
literally.
Boy, are his arms tired.
Oh, are they ever. Just snuck in, that's all. I'm all good.
Yeah, sure. How are you doing?
Tired. Long day.
Time to start applying for federal funds, my friend.
I know.
We do not have a very large window. Too bad
so
I can't talk.
We will be begging for money.
Yes.
For the floods.
For the flooding.
60 days.
I don't think
45.
So. I think it's a very, very short, short window.
Obama told me 60 days.
Yes.
Blame him again.
But Joe Obama is no relation to the president. We've tried to
the guy who sells fruit in the corner.
Wow. He owns a laundromat.
Roger Goodell told me 60 years.
And I trust that man because he saw the tape. So I mean.
Professor Dan Maggio is very busy filling out our show card, so we're not going to blame him for mixing metaphors.
Figuring out how to spell all your last names, except
wrong
yours.
With that?
Oh, you have trouble spelling my last name? No.
No, the Chow man. We know
I was
going to
say.
Puppy Chow, I believe is what Kathy used to say.
It works.
Last but most certainly not least, with her vitamin water, certainly not a sign of retirement, it's Professor Beth Oldjoy.
Good to be here.
Wake up, Beth.
I'm sorry.
Is that the brand or the type you're drinking, Wake Up, or is it?
Revive.
Revive.
Oh, Revive.
It makes perfect sense.
Perfect fruit punch flavor.
Yeah. Reconstitution.
Reconstitution.
A reanimate.
Yes.
Yeah, reanimate.
Zombie
That's
Beth
very
is Aristotelian. Back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm wearing my Ethics Bowl Dream Team t-shirt.
Good
right.
for you.
That's right.
They should have replaced Bentham with John Stuart Mill.
There's I can't right in the middle.
I can't.
As
or
he should
I
be.
Can't if you're British.
This is better than when we do our Doc Ellis special show, which I'm thinking up a list of questions with Doc Ellis.
Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes too. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or the hashtag AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on Facebook. When last we left our heroes, we were looking into some questions from old friend of the show, Kimberly Richards, not saying anything about your age, Kimberly, but we were taking on a nice potpourri of crazy stuff, and I had just asked this question. We got to get to it. We got to get to it. In what women's race at the 2000 Olympics in Sydney, Australia, were three leaders of the race disqualified within sight of the finish line?
I think the marathon.
I think speed walking.
It was speed walking.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
the 20-kilometer
walking.
They
broke into a gate.
That's yeah. right.
There's a stride.
Each was disqualified after receiving a third red flag for either having both feet off the ground at the same time. I'm going to think about that one for a minute. Or bending the knee. God forbid.
God forbid. Is that still an Olympic sport, yes. speed walking?
That is a good question.
It was in 2000. I know Bob Costas had a great line when he was talking about the disqualification incident. He said, speed walking. That's like having a contest to see who can whisper the loudest.
It is.
It, yeah, there are similarities
baseball
there.
Baseball is yes. no longer there, right?
Well, yeah, and there's a lot of word about our first South American Summer Olympics and being held, of course, during winter for the TV ratings. And, well, at least their winter. But baseball trying to make a comeback because baseball is the second most popular sport in Latin American countries.
And no softball for the women either.
That's right. No softball either. So it'll be exhibited from what I understand.
But golf?
However, we've all seen
golf?
Baseball before. So.
For you, Diane Perfect.
Yes.
Who invented the electric razor? He was an American inventor.
Mr. Norelco.
Mr. Norelco is not too far from the tree.
Was it Frederick Remington?
No.
Close shaves and all.
And it wasn't Gillette either. Oh, not no. Gillette, but you're so close.
Schick.
It was Schick. Colonel Schick.
Colonel Schick.
Yes.
Earl?
Earl.
Yes, absolutely.
His name
now,
is Earl?
He didn't invent the razor. He invented the electric razor. The idea came to him while he was recuperating from an injury he suffered while doing some gold exploration in Alaska and British Columbia. Finding it difficult to shave, Schick came up with the idea of the electric razor machine.
Wow. Where did he find to plug it in up there?
That is a good question. There's a battery pack. You know, you've got to walk it around or whatever. Which U.S. state was the first to secede from the Union in 1860?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. What was prompting this secession? Like,
Fort
Sumter. In particular? Well, besides the obvious thing, there was a straw that broke the camel's back.
Lincoln's election
is what it says here. Yes, absolutely. South Carolina adopted the declaration of the immediate causes which induce and justify the secession of South Carolina from the Federal Union, December 20, 1860. Six other states declared secession between then and Lincoln's inauguration on March 4th, when the Civil War began at Fort Sumter, April 12th. Four additional states opted to secede along with them. So that is the longest explanation for a one-line question we've ever had on this show.
We couldn't do that one on our Twitter.
We could not.
No.
I think they continued to vote in the United States Congress for a while after they declared they were seceding.
That is possible.
Well, that makes sense.
It was our good friend Strom around.
Oh, my. He was a strapping young lad of 20.
Well, you know what I found interesting?
A fellow teenager.
The last time he ran for re-election to the Senate, and at this point he's like 96 or something, the woman who babysat him when he was a child turned out to vote for him.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
Wow.
She must have been
over 100
years old. 800 years old. What long-running cartoon strip introduced in 1930 was created by the artist whose earlier comics were The Affairs of Jane, Beautiful Babs, and Dumb Dora? Well done.
Betty Boop?
No.
Peanuts.
1930s?
Charles Schultz?
Nope. No.
You said 1930s?
Earl Schick.
1930s. The artist was Chick Young.
Blondie.
Oh, Blondie.
Blondie. It was Blondie. Dumb Dora. Can we do better than that,
Dumb
please?
Dora.
Like, I get the alliteration, but please. Come on. Be creative. What legendary figure of the Old West served as a technical advisor to silent movie cowboy stars Tom Mix and William S. Hart?
Bill Hickok?
Nope.
One of the Earp brothers.
Yeah, it was Wyatt Earp. Yeah, he was actually, Hollywood consultant. That's a nice job to have, huh? On the New York Stock Exchange, what company uses the ticker symbol capital T? And that's it.
AT&T?
It's AT&T. For bonus points, nice. Based on the world market value, how big is AT&T ordinarily, like in what place for all the world's companies?
22nd.
Excuse me. 21st is correct.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. I just just had a shade
not
of...
Not bad for us. Not good for the Price is Right because you went over, but...
Yeah.
You gave him the vapors back.
I did.
So close.
Be under.
I'm wondering if Dan has spiritual powers or something. That's incredible.
I'm channeling.
What desert's name means waterless place in Mongolian, which is the local language?
Gobi?
The Gobi Desert. Yes. The Gobi Desert.
And you know what Sahara means? It simply means desert.
Oh, well,
it was so massive.
Really well.
I didn't think anything else was needed.
Sort of like ATM machine. Which U.S. government agency began operation on the 1st of October, 1958?
CIA.
Not the CIA.
The FBI?
No.
Yeah.
No.
FBI.
President Dwight D. Eisenhower established this group with a distinctly civilian rather than military orientation. Encouraging peaceful application of science.
Oh,
Atomic Energy
NASA?
Commission?
NASA is what it says here. NASA, as some people say.
Makes sense.
Right after Sputnik.
Yeah, it is. Yep. Sputnik right was 57, Sputnik. So.
Yep. What language is the source of the word admiral?
Latin.
It's not Latin.
French?
Portuguese?
I never knew this. This is very cool.
Admiral.
It's not Portuguese.
Italian?
And not,
not
French?
Not Italian, not French.
German. No, no, no.
It's not German.
Crusaders picked up this term, and it began to be used by European navies. It's Arabic, yeah. Amir al-Bahr is commander or prince of the sea.
Huh.
So they picked it up and somehow got the D involved as well, and suddenly we find ourselves in 2014. For what films did Hollywood best buddies George Clooney and Matt Damon gain 30 pounds to play their role?
Perfect Storm. Perfect
Doesn't
Storm.
Look like it. Doesn't look like it.
Ocean's 11.
No.
Monuments, man?
Harold and Kumar go to White
What's
Castle
the
and
one
hang out?
Where they were looking for treasure in Iraq or Iran or somewhere.
I think you're
like
thinking of Three Kings, but it wasn't Three Kings.
Okay.
Three Kings. It wasn't Three Kings.
They look chunky in Monuments, man. It wasn't that one.
They
so
do.
Matt Damon and Clooney?
Yeah, I think that there's a dangling participle somewhere in here because it's actually two different films.
Oh,
it's just that each of them gained 30 pounds to play their role.
Oh, well, The Informant
so
for Damon.
The Informant for Matt Damon, yes. And, for Clooney, 2005 portrayal of CIA operative Bob Barnes in
Syriana.
Great.
Hated
movie.
That movie.
Oh, you didn't like it?
I couldn't understand it.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go.
I found it way too difficult to follow.
That makes it very difficult to like. I am with you on that.
I may just be stupid because I didn't understand it.
I'm going to ponder whether I liked it or not again while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Get those bells. Yes. The University of Detroit Mercy presents Ask the Professor. On location. It's our annual picnic show, and this year we have come to Chillicothe, Ohio, at the grand opening of the academic theme park.
Don't get cotton candy on the mic, okay?
That's right. All right. It's the first academic theme park in North America, and I have with me today, that came all the way down from Detroit, we have George Pickering.
Sure, sure. Pleasure to be here, giving away degrees.
That's right.
Step right up, get your degree.
George is very attracted to this thing over across from us called the Diploma Mill.
Oh, which, I love it.
Strolling along beside George is Kathy Bush.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. And this is the place, though, this Diploma Mill. You can have hot dogs with vice presidents. You can buy a degree or two. Hmm. Anything your heart desires, academically.
Well, you can win
or...
it at games, too.
Yeah. You can do that. You can do that. Oh, we're passing the casino. Let's take a look at the casino.
You can win so many student credit hours and profit points in there. It's unbelievable.
Are these life experience credits?
Oh, absolutely. It is a life experience.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Sometimes it seems like a life sentence, you know, but it's really a life experience.
This is really fascinating.
Step right up, spin difference. The wheel, come out with 32 hours in religious studies. Here you are.
And we are back with some great questions from Kimberly Richards. We got one more to go. Having lots of fun with these all over the place, and I really do enjoy seeing the backup information after just a one-line question. That's cool. How long did the Hundred Years' War last?
112 years.
Yeah, 116 is what it says here.
Huh.
Yep.
But they rounded.
Yes, yeah. historians group several conflicts under the same label for convenience. That sounds like it was something that 7-Eleven made a decision.
Something students would do.
The World War.
We don't need one and two, just the World War.
The Great Disturbance.
The Great War and the Second Great War.
I mean, unfortunately, it reminds me of a few things I witnessed in grad school where people had particularly foreign-sounding names, and then they got Americanized nicknames very quickly because people just gave up too quickly. You know,
like our Chinese students who do that all the time.
It's fine if they make a choice to do it, but when it's imposed upon you, it borderlines on being a little bit rude.
Well, I have a student. This is the first in my many years of teaching. I have a student with an Aztec first name.
Oh, wow.
A lot of X's and O's.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool.
What's the name?
Well, it's pronounced Sochi.
Oh, I have her in class too.
It's like XOXOCHITL or something.
Nice.
Yeah, and when I try to pronounce it the first day, she said, I go by Sochi, and I'm like, where we had the Olympics? Good. I'm going to write that in on my attendance sheet.
Sochi Milkos, right? Dear profs, welcome back to campus. Thanks. For another season and a new semester. It must be exciting to see new faces and get back into the swing of things, especially in the recording studios there. You need new questions? Well, I did manage to squeeze out some between putting in a new deck and vacation time, and I came up with 25 questions all over the spectrum that I hope will keep the much-vaunted ATP panelists guessing. A usual score of 80% will be more than satisfactory for my needs. Warmest wishes for another successful season, Frank Burrows, in warmer-than-usual Valencia, California, at the moment, pushing 90-plus degrees.
Ouch. We'll take Detroit at the moment.
Yeah, I know. We've got 75, and we're enjoying it quite a bit. Quite a bit.
It's drier than usual out there, too.
I understand it's raining on the Minor Fair next Wednesday, though.
Cold.
Oh, that's right. I was going to ask when Minor Fair was, and
we do have a backup day.
The rain date is
and it's supposed to rain on that day, too.
Oh, no. Pete's sake. I hope that it holds off in time for me to mow my lawn this weekend. I've been neglecting that.
Don't worry about it. No one's, my lawn hasn't been cut in 2 weeks either, so.
Well, I want it to look shaggy for Halloween, so I have to get it, trimmed down.
You want me to bring some of my clippings over for you?
Sure. What car manufacturer has a model called the Note? There is a car called a Note.
Sounds like
Samsung.
Kia.
Sounds Japanese.
No, haven't heard it yet.
Nissan?
No, I was thinking Samsung Galaxy Note, that's not what
Nissan,
this is.
Nissan, Scion.
It's Nissan, actually, I'm assuming they're supposed to pronounce it. Yeah.
Sound a little electric hybrid car.
That sounds about right.
They always come up with the weirdest.
It looks like a little piano key. Note. In Greek mythology, who killed Hector?
Achilles.
Yes, makes sense.
Okay.
Why?
Got killing his name.
What did he do?
Trojan War.
In the Trojan War.
What's that?
What do we call his heel?
Hector's heel, Achilles' heel. Achilles, the kill is in the name. I just thought it was mildly amusing. On The Simpsons, Bart is asked in the fourth grade, who was George Washington Carver? Is he the guy who chopped up George Washington?
He made that statue.
In what country would you find Lake Disappointment? That is its name, Lake Disappointment. A real
lake
name for a lake.
I think I've heard of this.
It's Canadian.
US?
It's not the U.S. It's not Canada. We're in the wrong hemisphere. It's not Brazil. Oh. That's in the wrong hemisphere.
Australia.
Hint, hint. It's Australia.
Yeah.
Yes, it's Australia.
Hell, that does sound like Australia. Lake Disappointment.
Australian thinking.
We were expecting a bigger lake.
Well, it was founded by a whole bunch of convicts and stuff, right? So they may have been disappointed when they got
there.
Who built the world's first film studio?
Edison.
This was kind of a big deal recently.
Thomas Edison, isn't it?
Thomas Edison, absolutely. Thomas Edison's contributions to chemistry were noted with a historic marker last week at the Henry Ford at his Menlo Park recreation.
And wasn't his first film two people kissing?
Yeah.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Dirty old man that he was.
Yikes.
Back in that
day. He had been a juvenile delinquent.
Saucy.
In Port Huron, no less. Port Huron, Michigan. What three colors does asparagus traditionally come in?
Purple, white, and green.
Purple, white, and green. In the order I have them on the paper. Beth,
can't even say it fast enough, Beth.
You're on fire. I wonder why.
Do they taste
a different
the same?
Taste.
Yeah, is there is.
Okay.
White is a milder taste.
Oh, okay.
I did not know purple.
I should try it because I'm not a fan. One. What is the easternmost U.S. state capital city?
Augusta, Maine?
Augusta. Yes, absolutely. You knew that really fast.
It's near Canada.
Yeah, it's right by New Brunswick.
Hold on, are we looking at the pin? Okay, it makes perfect sense.
It's the far easternmost.
Makes sense to me.
And Boston would be next.
Now, the question is, if Puerto Rico becomes the 51st state, does that change?
That is a good question.
We can't tell from that map.
Yeah,
we
can't tell from the further east. Those two lines aren't on there.
San Juan would be.
Yes, they are.
Because it's on that side of Puerto Rico.
We remember the movie The Color Purple?
Yes.
It received 11 Oscar nominations, and how many wins?
One.
Not one.
Danny Glover?
Not one.
Three.
Not three.
Zero?
It says zero here. Wow. Won zero Oscars.
Yeah, Spielberg got shafted.
What was that the year of, like, something else?
I don't remember. But that was a good movie.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
It was very sad, and it made you cry at the end.
I have not seen that movie.
He sure was. Yep.
Who was the first U.S. president to be born in the 20th century? That's a great question.
JFK.
It says
yeah.
JFK?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It would be 1917.
Yeah, very well done. What were the two opening theme songs used in the TV show The Partridge Family?
Beth.
Come on, get happy.
Come on, get happy.
Yeah. Come on, get happy was 71 to 74, but 70 to 71, it was...
Rock Around the Clock.
Nope.
No, that's Happy Days.
I was just kidding.
Actually, I think Happy Days is Happy Days.
Was it a hit? Was it...
I cannot know.
Before your time?
I can't.
A little bit before my time. Although I do remember Danny Bonaducci being on the radio airwaves in Detroit.
I just remember him from Susan Day.
Oh, yes. I remember Susan Day.
I remember from L.A. Law.
I remember.
Yeah, come on, growing up.
It says the original theme song was When We're Singing was the name of it.
Wow. That was a big hit.
So somebody was once expelled from the Kentucky Military Institute for riding a horse through the mess hall. This person was also a Gilligan's Island regular. Who was it?
Russell Johnson?
Nope.
Would it be a regular guest star?
No, it says a regular as in a regular cast member.
Oh, what year?
It was Jim Backus.
Jim Backus.
Oh, wow.
We were supplied with supplementary information and a little nice little photo of Jim Backus with a creepy little clown doll. And Monday, 25 February 2013 would have been Jim Backus' 100th birthday.
Oh.
He died on July 3rd, 1989. It says here he was born on 25 February 1913 in Cleveland, Ohio, grew up in Brattonall, a suburb of Cleveland. Even before he became famous, Mr. Backus encountered those associated with Hollywood or would-be. His kindergarten teacher was none other than Margaret Hamilton, forever remembered as the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yes.
Oh, so,
in a lovely shade of green.
Mm-hmm. When he attended Kentucky Military Institute, one of his classmates was Victor Mature. And even a bit of a clown while young, Jim Backus was expelled from KMI for riding a horse through the mess hall. That's fantastic.
Before he became the famous Thurston Howell III and Mr. Magoo.
And Mr. Magoo.
That's right, man. Mr. Magoo.
What two European cities are linked by a train that's known as the Hungaria?
Budapest and...
What else is there?
Something happened to this city recently, I think. I give it away. It starts with the letter P.
Prague is what it says here.
Praha.
Didn't it like divide down the middle and come into... something happened about the neighborhoods or something recently. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
They got a McDonald's, maybe?
They got a McDonald's or something. They got the Sodexo bringing in the food.
No, they got a Starbucks and now they're all jacked.
And saluting funny.
Yes.
Left-handed.
Whose theme song became Minnie the Moocher?
Cab Calloway.
Let me tell you a story about Minnie
Blues
the Moocher.
Brothers.
She was a big-time hoochie-coocher.
Yes. Perfect rhyme, by the way. What does the Campbell-Stokes recorder measure? I've heard of this before. Very important to this last Tuesday, when the Campbell-Stokes recorder would have made equal measurements.
Which was the length of
days.
Oh, the day.
Daylight.
The amount of sunshine. Oh. Yes, exactly. So we had an equinox the other day, didn't we?
We did.
And those who cared noticed that the sun rose exactly in the middle of 6 Mile Road because...
We drove into
at
it.
At least John Stoudemire noticed.
Yes, well, John definitely
not sure anybody else did.
6 a.m. or p.m.?
Oh, yeah, good call.
Who
I think it rose in the a.m. What is the more common name of Lake Tiberias? It was known by something first, and then the Romans came in. And, yes, the Sea of Galilee. They named it after James Tiberius Kirk from Star Trek, of course. Yes,
exactly. Those Romans, they love Star Trek.
Yes. Oh, man, they were big into it.
Kirk Crunch and Kangaroo, as Sheldon says.
As a sort of transition to question 15 here, a very special herb was used to wipe Christ's body down while he hung from the cross. What was that herb? You got to be kidding me.
Hyssop.
Hyssop is exactly what it says. Yeah. Sure, you know that. I mean, you're a religious studies prof, but come on.
I don't know why.
Was it called hyssop?
Hyssop.
H-Y-S-S-O-P.
Do we know it as something different?
What is it? Is it? Are we known for like making tea or...
No,
resurrection.
But what I heard about it actually was also that they stirred it in like vinegar to put it on a sponge to give people when they were very thirsty, because people would hang on a cross for a long time before they died.
Many hours. What word is written on the scroll on the box of Quaker Oats? Now, there's something that we probably see at least once or twice a month.
5 minutes.
Hold on. We actually had this in my art history class.
We're holding the scroll.
This is a great question.
Is it old like fashion? Purity or...
It says pure. That's exactly pure. What it says.
Oh, the Oats are pure.
Mr. Oats.
This was on my art history class.
I love it.
We had to. I'm trying to remember who was the guy that painted it.
Nothing is better for thee than me.
What acting duo played the villains on the Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island?
They were the people
Gilligan's
on
Island.
Abbott and Costello.
No, Mission Impossible, the husband wife duo.
Oh, Martin Landau and Barbara Bain.
That is correct.
Whoa.
Wow.
I like this teamwork.
Left and right today.
I like this teamwork.
Absolutely awesome.
Greg and I decided yesterday that we are the co-chair versions of Alf and Ralph.
Or Lenny and George.
Teamwork's important.
It is important. In the 2001 Michael Mann movie, Ali, who played broadcaster Howard Cosell?
Billy Crystal?
Mm-mm. That would have been good.
He does a good impersonation. Yeah, he does. Thought of it.
Howard Cosell.
I'm trying to think.
Thriller.
What year was it?
2001 was the movie, Michael Mann movie.
I finally saw it not too long ago.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
Did he look like Howard Cosell?
He was kind of wrinkly. That's not bad. Like, known for being wrinkly might help
a
little bit.
Who's now being used by
too
Rick
soon.
Perry.
Not the Archie Bunker dude.
Oh, not the Archie Bunker dude. No, it was Yosoy John Voight who played Howard Cosell.
He's become wrinkly.
Yeah, he has become wrinkly. I think we're going to have to say goodbye before we get more wrinkly. Professor Oljar.
Goodbye.
Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Tubbs.
Let's iron out those wrinkles.
Professor Finkenbein.
Farewell.
Professor Roach.
Peace in the Middle East, yo.
And Professor Manica.
Go Tigers.
Now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.